Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad that you could join us this day. In case you couldn't tell by the costumes, today is Trunk or Treat Day, so we are excited for that following the service. And as well, we are, if you see all the red shirts, we're also blessed today to have a lot of the school children helping out with the service today, so we're looking forward to that. But I invite you to stand as we begin our service. We do so remembering whose we are, who we belong to, having been claimed in the waters of baptism. We begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be here today as brothers and sisters in Christ, to be fed by you from your word and through sacrament. We ask you to guide our hearts, guide our minds, our thoughts, that everything that we do bring glory and honor to you. All this we ask in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, we come bearing those thoughts, those words, those deeds, the things that we've done throughout this week that have not brought glory and honor to God. And let's take this time now to confess our sins. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto each and every one of you. And in this said, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Atoning sacrifice. Darkness, my God, that is who you are.
And as Pastor Josh said, we have the privilege of having our kids from our school who are going to be assisting us in our worship today. So I ask them to come forward for our first reading.
The Old Testament reading is Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines.
On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations.
He will swallow up the death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces.
He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken.
In that day they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trust in him and he saved us."
This is the Lord. We trust in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.
Today's sermon scripture is from Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14.
Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son.
He sent his servants to those who have been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come.
Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fat cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.'"
But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants and mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city.
Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to come the banquet anyone will find."
So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests.
But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" The man was speechless.
Then the king told the attendants,
"Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen."
All right, thank you very much for the reading. And now it's time for the children's message. And for the children to come up, Mrs. Armbruster has a special message for you.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You guys look a little different this morning.
Oh, I'm gonna look very different.
You're gonna look very
dinosaur.
Nice.
I will pull a unicorn.
I see that.
Superhero.
So in our Bible reading today, both of them talked about a feast or a banquet. And I have some friends that are going to help me because it kind of, trunk or treat kind of seems a little bit like a kind of a feast and kind of like food and stuff like that. So I'm going to have my helpers come out and I'm going to need your help. So I need you to pay attention. And they've got some trick-or-treat bags, and I'm going to have them show you what's in their bag, and then we're going to put them in order from what we like the most to what we don't like the most. So, Alana, what do you have? Can you show us?
I have M&Ms.
So Alana has a bag of M&Ms. Gavin, what do you have? Gavin has some whole wheat crackers. Let's see what Clara has.
I have some broccoli.
Clara has broccoli.
Mm.
What about Jacob? Let's look at Jacob. Ooh, Jacob has a big bag of M&Ms. So let's put them in order. Which one would you like the most? Okay, so Jacob, you need to go the first. What would be second?
Small bag of M&Ms.
Small bag of M&Ms. Then what?
Crackers.
Crackers. And what are we going to put on the end?
Broccoli.
Broccoli.
I love broccoli.
Me too. Me too.
I love broccoli.
But now I need you to listen, because we're going to think about something else. If it was time to eat dinner, and we wanted to have not what we liked the best, but what was best for us, what would we probably need to put first?
Broccoli.
Broccoli. All right, broccoli, you get to be number one.
Yummy.
What would be second?
Whole wheat crackers.
Whole wheat crackers. Then what?
Small bag.
Then what?
Big bag.
So, thank you guys. I need you to come back in a minute, but for right now you can go. And I want to ask you, sometimes, is it possible that what we like the best isn't what's best for us? That's possible. Like sometimes maybe we want to stay up late, but the best thing for us might be to go to bed. Or we might like to play video games for a long time, but maybe what's best is if we ride our bicycle or take a walk. So does that make sense to you that sometimes what we like the best isn't what's best for us? Does that make sense? And I have one more example of that that I would like you to look at. So I'm going to have my friends come back out. And we're going to think for a minute of Jesus.
What?
Because we always think about Jesus, don't we? Here are some things that might have been what Jesus could do. So let's see. Jacob, what do you have? Look at Jacob's picture. So here's something Jesus could have done. He could have come down from heaven as an adult, did some miracles like walking on water, and then gone back to heaven. That was something maybe he could have done. Or here's something else maybe he could have done. He could have just stayed in heaven. Heaven's perfect, heaven's beautiful, heaven's amazing. He could have just stayed there. Or maybe, what does Gavin have? Maybe he could have come down to earth, hung out with people for a while, and then when they got angry at him and wanted to hurt him, he could have gone back to heaven. And there's one other thing he could have done. He could have come to heaven as, or come to earth as a baby, grown up, and died on the cross, which was hard and it hurt. Which one do you think would be the easiest thing to do? Which of those things would be just super easy? You think stay in heaven? That'd be super. Well, that's what he did, but what would be really easy? Be easy just. So, let's put stay in heaven over here, because that'd be super easy. Which one was the hardest?
Dying on the cross.
Dying on the cross. And that hurt, didn't it? So why don't you guys give me your pictures, and we'll talk about that for just a minute. Because remember what we said a minute ago? Sometimes the easiest thing is not the best thing. This was a hard thing to do. Why did Jesus do that? Because he loved us. And after Jesus died on the cross, he was raised again from the dead. and he went back to heaven. And who, let's see if we can look at that picture. Jesus is in heaven now. Who's he waiting for? He's waiting for us. If we believe in Jesus, we will get to go to heaven and be with him. So remember what we said before, that sometimes what we like the best may not be the best for us. And while it would have been easier not to do this, Jesus did the really hard thing because he loves us. Can you guys pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for doing the hard thing. Dying on the cross, so that we could have the best thing. Forgiveness and heaven. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, well, you guys can go to Little Worship.
All right, so if you'd like to go to Little Worship, you can go back there. Just something to note, Little Worship is an optional thing. You don't have to go there if that's not the desire. But for ages 4 years old to fourth grade, they go down the hall and have a special message, and they come back after the sermon teaching time. So that's something of interest. Then follow the cross that way. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a CEO of a multi-billion dollar company. The headquarters were here in St. Louis, but there were massive offices in Seattle and in L.A. and New York, all over the country. Many, many different workers all for this business. And so the CEO had an event coming up. He was excited. His son was getting married. And he said, you know what? I have enough money. I'm able to do this. I want everyone in my company to come to my son's wedding. Even being willing to pay the flights and travel expenses, everything, sparing no expenses whatsoever, so that everyone in his company could come to celebrate the marriage of his son. He invites everyone he can. But the unexpected happens. Despite the generosity of this CEO, everyone in the company rejects the invitation. Some say, well, you know, I got this work project that you gave me, mind you, and I really got to catch up on that. Or, oh, I got to go do this thing with my family. Or excuse after excuse after excuse, one after the other, of why something else was more important than the invitation that this generous CEO gave to everyone in his company. And the CEO is just heartbroken. He's distraught. He says, look, my son getting married, this is the most important thing, honestly. And so he ends up firing everyone in the company. All divisions just shut down. But he says, you know what? Is this feast, the celebration of my son is so important. I will not have it that no one comes. And so he went out into the streets of St. Louis, and he invites people right off the streets, the homeless who are there and people who are working it on the street, people who are just in business going, hey, come celebrate with my son this wedding that is happening. It's a monumentous event. And so that's exactly what happened. As he goes out in the unexpected ways to get unexpected people to come and be parts of this wedding feast. And I put this forth for you today as kind of a modern take on the sermon reading that was read for us earlier, as we think about what it is that God has done for his creation, what is it that he desires for his creation. One of my favorite questions to ask when I approach any passage of Scripture is, well, what does this tell me about God? And it's an interesting thing. You start out here as Jesus is beginning a parable. For some context, so 2 weeks ago, Pastor Bob was talking about how the issue of authority came up, and some of the religious leaders said, well, Jesus, what authority do you have to do these things? And so that's still something that's kind of at play. And as well, I mentioned last week that Jesus is at a point where he's looking on to what is going to come. Namely, that he is going to die the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all of creation. And that in doing that, he would reconcile a broken and sinful world to God. And that's on the forefront of his mind. And part of that, as he proclaims, is that it would be the case that the religious leaders would hand him over. And so there's kind of an importance to this tension. And Jesus isn't necessarily picking a fight in the sense of, you know, he's not being mean. He's just speaking the truth. And so last week he spoke the truth about how it is that those who ought to have given God the fruits, those who were the workers of the vineyard, as it were, if you recall, they should have followed God, is the summary there. But they didn't. And so these religious leaders should have known, based on the authority of God and the scriptures, who Jesus was, and they should have followed him. But they don't. And Jesus continued to kind of press this issue of what does this mean? He is one with authority. And so he tells the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. And before I get too far into that parable, I just want to highlight as well the other reading that was read for today from Isaiah. Again, what authority does Jesus have? Well, he's the Son of God. He knows all the scriptures that the religious leaders ought to have known. And so from Isaiah, there's a story of a feast. And I find this passage in Isaiah can be really easy to kind of glean over and be like, yeah, that sounds lovely and nice. So I'm going to kind of try to break this down a little bit. See, last week there was a reading from Isaiah that was warning the people, saying, look, you are in rebellion against God. God looked to his vineyard for good fruits and all he found was sour grapes. And words of warning were all that Isaiah at that time had, that really God through Isaiah had for his people. But now is a message of hope, a message of redemption, a message of what we're looking forward to. When he says, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine. So I really love barbecue. And part of what I love about barbecue is the experience of you go to a barbecue place and if it's a good barbecue place. What do you smell before you even get in the door? So like one of my favorite barbecue places ever is in Del Mar. I think there's other locations, but it's called Salt and Smoke. Raise your hand if you've ever been to Salt and Smoke. Fantastic. I love it. You walk up and you can smell that white oak cooking. It's been going since like 4 a.m. that they have been smoking this meat. And you just walk up and you are excited at the concept of like, I'm going to eat that. And it's going to taste awesome. I love it. And so this is the imagery that God is trying to say through the prophet Isaiah, where he says, look, I'm preparing for you a feast of rich food, of a fatty, like perfectly rendered goodness. Like that is what he's trying to paint a picture of here, of saying this is coming. Not just say, it's going to be a nice feast. It's going to be a great time. We're all going to just sit there. No, this is going to be amazing. This is worth like salivating over. And as well, a feast of well-aged wine. Again, I don't know if you're a wine drinker or not, but this is something that's, you know, not just like, okay, we crush the grapes and we drink it. But no, this is something that has been taking on flavor and developing in this concept of flavor here, this well-aged wine. And this is really a feast for a king. All right, this is something that the common people would not have gotten maybe once in their lifetime if they were lucky. And God is saying, I'm going to make for all peoples, all the nations of the earth, I will make for them this feast of the best food and the best drink. A rich food full of marrow. An aged wine well refined. Again, something that only a king would actually experience in his lifetime. Not even at a standard wedding feast are you going to get this. And going with this concept then of food and a banquet, God continues with this imagery. Have you ever, I find this most often happens with desserts. Maybe it could happen to other things. But have you ever looked at, like, a chocolate cake and been like, oh, I'm going to destroy that. Oh, my goodness. Mm. And you eat the whole thing. No, just me? Okay. But that concept here, you know, God says, I am going to swallow up on this mountain. I'm going to destroy on this mountain the covering that cast over all the peoples. I think the reading that we had was the shroud or the veil. The idea here really is it's one thing representing a bigger thing. And that one thing is a burial shroud, a burial veil. Somebody dies and you put perhaps a veil over them. And God's saying, I'm going to devour that. You guys, you get to eat this awesome food that I prepared for you. I'm going to eat death, is what God says. The covering cast over all peoples, the veil that's spread over the nations. God will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And again, I think this is the imagery that is helpful for us as we look at what Jesus is communicating in the parable when he says, look, it's the case that there was a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And this is the feast. This is a grand event. This is the best of food, the best of wine. This is what all he has given for his creation, that he desires that he might have a relationship with them. And all this is for his son. And he sent the servants to call those who were invited to the feast, but they would not come. Again, the Son of God took on flesh and dwelt among his people, and there he is with his people, and they reject him. They don't follow what God was at work doing. They say, no, this guy cannot be from God for this reason, this reason, this reason, this reason, all of these things. And so he says, other servants, tell those who are invited, look, I prepared dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest had seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. And the king was angry, understandably, I think. And so he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. That sounds harsh. But perhaps he has a right to. Then he sent his servants. The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads, invite the wedding feast, as many as you can find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all they found. Both the bad and the good were invited. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But then the king came to look at the guests, and he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he responds, duh. No, actually, as I picture this, it just says he was speechless. I picture something a bit incredulous, like, what? I just walked in here. Everybody else was coming. In other words, having nothing to do with the invitation, having nothing to do with the matter at hand, he's just there. And he has no good response, really, for why he's there. And the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And there's a lot of truth wrapped up in this section of Scripture. A lot of truth concerning who Jesus is, that he is one with authority, that he is the Son of God. There's truth that he has come so that God's people might be reconciled to God through his death. And it is as well wrapped in there that people, despite the wonderful invitation, reject the invitation of God. And you see that first and foremost in Jesus' day with those who walked among him, who still said, no, I don't believe this guy. I don't believe his message. And yet at the end of that parable, I think is something for each of us to be aware of as well. Because the reality is that we all might have times in our life where we are tempted to reject that same invitation. Or we're tempted to say, you know what, I have something more important to do. And we're tempted to fall away. But as I said before, I like to look at texts from Scripture and say, okay, what does this tell me about God? What does this tell me about the Creator? And the wonderful thing, the amazing thing really, is that he says, you know what? This celebration is too important. This thing that I'm at work doing is too important. I can't just say, you know what, let's forget about it. Because the people that I invited all rejected it. He says, I got to send this invitation again. I have to send this invitation to you. You have to know about this wonderful feast. You have to know about the wondrous things that God is doing that will ultimately come to fruition at the end. See, at the end, we're looking forward to a time where the feast that was discussed, that God told of through the prophet Isaiah, a wondrous time. I don't know exactly what the food will be like, but the image that I want to highlight one last time in case you missed it was that in the end, there will be no more death because God will have devoured it. And he will wipe every tear from their eye. What a wondrous thing that is promised. Like one of the most commonly feared things universally is death. There's so much unknown that is there. One second I'm breathing, the next I am not. And there's so many ways that can come about. And here it is that God is saying, I'm going to take this away forever. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear death for you. You don't have to fear death for your loved ones. Because the day will come where death will be destroyed forever. And there will be no more death. And in that day, as it says in Revelation, there will be no more sorrow. The former things will have passed away, and he will wipe every tear from your eye. And as ones who follow Jesus, this is what we look forward to. Amongst other things, we look forward to the day where we know we don't have to worry about what the end's going to look like. Rather, right now, we don't have to worry about what the end is going to look like because we know the ending, because God told us. We know the ending is a wonderful celebration with him. We know the ending is no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more fears, and no more tears. And so we rejoice that this is our God who we follow. And this is the God that sends this invitation to us. And this is the God that also when we, at times, fail to keep things in perspective, fail to remember that we're supposed to keep following the God who leads us, once more he invites us, repent, come back to me. So rejoice this day. For this is the good news that has been proclaimed to you, that the day is coming, declares the Lord, where there will be no more death, there will be no more pain, there will be no more sorrow, and he will wipe every tear from their eye. Amen. At this time, we're going to collect our offerings. We have a video that's going to be showing, and as well, we are blessed by having the offering collected by the children from our school again.
It is great to be able to see how the Holy Spirit is at work, not only in our church, but in our school. At this time, I ask the congregation to please stand. And as believers in Christ, let us confess what we believe as we read the explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. was green me and all me in person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to eternity. This is most certainly true. Now let us bring our cares and our petitions to our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today first just praying for the unrest over in the Middle East between Israel and Palestine. Lord, this conflict has been going on for centuries back to Isaac and Ishmael, and we know that any peace can only be through you and through your work. And so we ask that you just bring it into the bloodshed there in that part of the world. And Lord, we also pray for our own country. There are just days, Lord, that sometimes we just wonder how long, but we know that all things work through you, so we ask for you to work through those individuals who look to seek harm, change their hearts, that they will live their lives according to you. We lift up all of those, Lord, who guide and protect us, our police, our firefighters, our first responders, our military, all of those who daily give of themselves and sometimes the ultimate sacrifice. We ask you to be with them, to protect them, to be with their families. We also ask you to be with everyone, Lord, who is dealing with affliction, some temporary, some maybe terminal. Through it all, Lord, may they know your strength, your peace, and that through it all, that they rely on you. All this, Lord, we ask, praying the prayer that your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he gave it thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
It's the light that pierces through you to the darkest hidden place. It knows your deepest secrets, but it never looks away. It's the gentle hand that pulls you from the judgment of the crowd. When you stand before them guilty and you've got no way out, some may call it to what we thought was dead.
Try to rule the world you made, but we know power is yours alone to give and take. A day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord, both now and forever. Trustworthy Savior, my hope is in the Lord.
Couple of quick announcements. Wade Weibrecht is going to be on site tomorrow to do flu shots and COVID vaccines if anyone's interested. I assume where the table is there is probably where it'll be. As well, as I said before, we have Trunk or Treats. So that is going from about 11 o'clock until 12:30. And that's going to be happening at the school parking lot over that direction. There's going to be trunks, games, food, and lots of fun. So looking forward to seeing y'all there. We have a movie night that is going to be this Friday. There's more information in the back of your bulletin regarding that. But if you could, if you're planning on attending the drive-in here for the movie night, it's a drive-in here, then if you could reserve your spot by this Wednesday, October 18th, just email Lauren Bates if that's something that you get more information in the bulletin. Lastly, today is the last day to place an order for poinsettias, so if that's something that you like to do, today's the day. Otherwise, go in peace and serve the Lord. Have a blessed week.